And we're live right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to a special version of Security Guy Radio, securityguytv.com. My special guest today, Maria Delgado. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I thought we'd laugh today because there's not enough funny in the world. And you're a stand-up comic, part-time, right? That's your thing, right?
Trying.
Well, no, that's...
No, yes.
Well, so you're very popular on Facebook.
Yeah.
And every day you put out at least, I don't know, two or three, five jokes.
Yeah.
But they're observations about things to me. And that's why I think it's funny about them.
Those are not my jokes. Those are actually things that are happening to me at the moment.
That's right. Life's observations.
Yeah,
that's the funniest. Tell us about yourself. How did you get started and where'd you come from and all that stuff?
Well, let's see. I'll start with where I came from or where I was raised out here in L.A. So I'm not from this country.
Oh, really?
Are you one of those? I'm not from this country. No, I came here from Mexico when I was five.
Okay.
So, and then my parents, we moved to East L.A. for a little bit. And then from there, we made a lateral move over to Watts.
So a lateral move to Watts, okay.
I grew up in Watts, and my parents still live in Watts. So I went to school there, obviously. And then went to college here and there. Eventually ended up in Santa Clarita or Valencia,
right,
where Magic Mountain is.
The original Valencia.
Valencia, exactly.
Up the real estate prices, yeah.
So I'm there now, and I have two teenage kids and moved there about 12 years ago because of them, because I wanted them to have a nicer place to live and safe and all that good stuff. And so now I'm one of those suburban moms.
And how'd you get into comedy?
Got into comedy, been wanting to get into it actually for a very long time and didn't really have the confidence before, and I met a woman who is actually the manager for a very well-known comedian. I don't want to say the name because I don't know.
How about it rhymes with? Can we do that?
Well, no? His name, no, I guess kidding. Maybe I can say his name. His name is Paul Mooney.
Okay.
You know Paul Mooney?
Oh, I do know that name, yeah. Oh,
he's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she's amazing. I met her at a party through another friend, and he's a cop. And so I guess he did some security side work with her at where she worked at. And she was awesome. She just kind of connected to me. And I wasn't even doing comedy then. I was just kind of just there, and people were talking and, you know, interacting. And I'm very social. So I think she saw something in me. And, you know, I thought, she's hitting on me right now at something. I thought so. And then I was like, well, she's a nice lady. She gave me her card. She's like, call me. Let's do lunch. And I'm like, I'm not into women, but okay. You know, I didn't know. So so she's the one that had been telling me for a while, you should do it, you should do it. And then finally one day I did. I just, there was a talent show at the College of the Canyons, which is where I was attending, or still attending. And yeah, scary, shaking, you know, the microphone, voice is shaky, but there was a 10-year-old kid doing it too. And I'm like, I'm not going to let that little shit show me up, you know? So I did it. And ever since then, I just met other comics.
Right.
And then started just doing shows here and there.
Now, what was your first skit? Did you actually write some jokes? Or were you telling stories? How did you do that?
A lot of them were like stories about like ex-boyfriends or my ex-husband.
Stories, yeah.
Yeah, stories. But they're true and they're funny.
Right.
So, yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, my stepmother was a singer, and she used to play at the Smokehouse and, you know, MGM Grand, a couple of places. She was a warm-up act for a bunch of things. Applejack was the name of the band. And they had a talent show. And she says, you should come in and tell some stories. And I said, I don't know. You know, I'm not a comedian. And she goes, you're funny. Every time you come home and tell a story about what happened at work or school, people just roll over and pee their pants laughing. Yeah. So I just got up there and I just told some stories about our dog and how we lived and, you know, 10 kids in one house and two great dates. And the whole audience is busting up. And I don't think I'm funny, but people tell me all the time, you're hilarious. And I go, I'm just telling you a story about what happened because my life is so freaking bizarre. I make the observations and then people
bizarre,
laugh at it.
Bizarre.
But truth is funny.
Yeah.
I mean,
it
that's the whole
funny.
Thing.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how this came into my mind just now, but everyday things, right?
Yeah.
So I was, my daughter loves cucumbers. And so I'm at the grocery.
Hold on. Well, get ready for this. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm at the grocery store and I don't like when I pick a cucumber and you don't like test it out to see that it doesn't have like a little mushy side to it. So I'm standing at the store and I'm feeling it up and down and I'm feeling it up and down. I put it in my bag and I get like three and I'm feeling them up and down. I'm feeling them up and down. And then I look up and there's two guys that have been staring at me and they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, gross, right? But it's funny. I mean, it's real life. That's what happens. And so I posted that, you know, once, and people thought I just made that up. And I'm like, no, that actually really happened. You know, so anyway.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So if where do you do your show now? Do you do, I don't know, do you play clubs? Do you solicit?
I do solicit.
Yeah, you do solicit, right. No. I mean, where do you find jobs?
You know, like just like Facebook, just like with you, like you had me come on your show. It's people just kind of see you and, you know, they interact with you and they want you to do their show.
Hold on 1 second. I have a fan, actually one fan, who said we're getting feedback. Is your phone on, Barbie? Maybe we have to kill that Facebook thing. No, what were we getting feedback out there for? Uh-oh. Well, we'll fix it in post.
It's one of my Facebook friends. They're like, she's a hack. Get her off of there.
So you, after you did your first show, you had the confidence in to go out and get more shows? And
like I said, I think I met other comedians.
Right.
So like,
you got in the club.
I got in the club. Yeah. I went to the Ice House in Pasadena my first time at a real club. And my friend John Cooperman was the guy that I actually did the talent show with.
Right.
So I did many shows with him there at the Ice House, and then just went from there. And then I actually got my own place. So I had a friend, or have a friend, who owns a winery, and he offered me what they call a room. He offered me his space.
He offered you a room.
He offered me, yeah, let's
get
a room.
Cucumber's room, very interesting. All right.
That's what the comics say, let's get a room and, you know, have a show. So I had that for about a year. It was every Thursday night, and did that for a year. And then I also did another show in Valencia at JJ's Bar and Grill, which I no longer have. I did that for almost a year as well. So 2 years of doing that.
Now, do you get paid for that?
You get paid through, you know, the tickets that you sell to get people to come to watch the comics.
Like a percentage of the box office.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would have, you know, a lot of people come that were established and, you know, come do my shows. And then some regular people, some struggling, you know, comics, some new comics that we're all trying to do our thing. But had some pretty funny shows, pretty fun shows. I miss it. Well, I miss it. But I don't have the rooms anymore. So
I see. Okay.
So I have to now go out and either try to get another room somewhere or just get on other shows. So I have a couple of things coming up right now. I didn't do shows for a little bit because I'm also in school. And then this year, so I don't have the room come like December of last year. And then January, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just focus on school, get that taken care of. And then February, my daughter totaled my car. So then I had to deal with that. And she's okay, thankfully.
That's good.
Then March, I had to get a new car, which is awesome. Now I have a new car. And then April, I moved. So there's all these things happening. And I'm like, okay, let's just get through school, get through this stuff that's going on. And then come the summertime, then I'm going to, you know, get a room.
Okay.
So
now, do you have an agent?
I'm hoping my gal lady would be my agent, but we'll see. She's not active with anybody else except for Paul.
But all the stuff you've done so far has been through you, just, you know, word of mouth, through the comic network and that kind of stuff.
Some people that, you know, like want to do stuff and have me do stuff with them. And I think June 10th, we have a show.
Oh, let's talk about that
be
one.
On.
Where's that?
I don't know where exactly the name
of
it.
If you don't
know. I have to look it up.
Okay.
But it's in Anaheim. And the flyer is on my Facebook. I don't know the name of the place because I've never been.
All right, Barbie, got to research that while we're on the air.
Yeah, Barbie, do something.
Barbie's friends in studio here.
My friend Barbie.
Your chaperone, your
Barbie
bodyguard.
Barbie doll is here, yeah. Yeah, my bar. You see how big and stocky she is. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so she can look it up. But so June 10th, we'll be there. It's an all-ladies show, which is awesome. And Chico Little is the producer.
Oh, now when you say all-ladies, can I go?
Yes.
Not like the guy that's going to the
But don't offer
Wonder
anybody
Woman.
A room. Just don't ask the ladies for a room.
No, remember the Wonder Woman controversy? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
So the guy goes out, he's going to buy a ticket to the woman's show. And, oh, my God, he's like a celebrity. He doesn't want to be. I don't get it. It's really funny.
Yeah. It's like really small on the, not really small. I'm sorry, Chico, if you're listening. So it's in, look, if you want to go, like, let me know. And it's on my Facebook. There's a flyer and all that good stuff.
All right. Now, tell me how you come up with a skit, right? So I come on here and I tell stories and people laugh at it. But I'm not sure I could sit down and I could tell a series of stories about it. Maybe clump a topic together.
Yeah.
I've never had that, but I'm all impromptu. I just pick up on words in a minute. And what do you call it, improv? I'd be good at improv,
you're more
right?
An improv person.
But if I had to sit down and write some jokes, like if you've seen The Unknown Comic on my page, remember The Unknown Comic?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's Murray Langston. Oh, my God. Like, every day he writes like 5 or 6 jokes, and he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you seem to write jokes, but really you're just making observations that turn into a joke.
I guess.
How do you do it? How's your brain work?
I don't know. The thing is, like, when I'm writing on Facebook, that's what I'm writing about, what's happening to me at the moment. Or some weird thought comes into my head, and then I'll post it. Because it's like people go, it's so random. And it's like, why are you getting upset about that? Like, it's okay to be random, to throw something in there that doesn't make any sense, because it breaks up people's day.
Right.
It breaks up my day, you know? Like, I think one time I wrote in there, I said, who wants to go shoplifting? You know, and it's like, usually you say, hey, who wants to go shopping? And I put shoplifting, and people were like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Oh, play on words. I do that.
Yeah. You play on words.
I'm good with words, mixing those together. Yeah, that's
true. But it just came to me. It wasn't like I sat there and I'm like, oh, I'm such a genius or what. I mean, I don't know. It's just stuff that comes to me. And then I have people that go, how do you, they will text me or email me and go, how do you come up? What's your inspiration? And I'm like, I'm sitting on the toilet. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes I will be in the restroom and I think of something and I have to go back to my desk to get my phone before I forget, because I will quickly forget what I want to write.
No, that's true. Yeah. My best place is driving. So if I'm, I go cross country, right?
Yeah.
And how do you drive and write?
I want to know.
Voice texting.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
No, I just voice text something. I'll put it down, like an observation about something, or photos.
Oh, that's right, because you were texting me that one time.
So I take a lot of... No, I wasn't. I wasn't texting her while I was driving.
He was voice texting. No, he was voice texting.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
To be specific.
So let's talk about what's going on in the world, all right? So I think a lot of your observations are funny because they seem to be... We talked about this before the show. What was the word we used? Which we're going to offend some people, but don't get too offended. They're just truthful observations. You're not politicizing it. You're not saying this is one party or the other party. It's just that one thing there is true about that particular issue.
It is, yeah.
And it cuts across political areas. I mean, some people might say it's political, but I'd say that's just the truth. And you seem to see things that other people don't, because if they're wearing their political glasses, they're not going to see it, right?
You're going to get upset, yeah.
Yeah. So
but I don't affiliate with any party. To me, honestly, and this is probably going to upset people too, I don't see the difference. I can't tell the difference.
There isn't
between
a difference. No.
Yeah.
If anybody... Now, no offense to all my friends. I love all you guys, right? If you actually think there's a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, I got a bridge to sell you, right?
Because I don't know. That's the only reason. Because I don't know.
It's all the same, really. And really, it's not about governing. It's about them getting power and struggles and things like that, you know?
Yeah, we're forgetting the people. We're forgetting, you know, we're so worried about being number one, being, you know, the majority or this. And I'm just like, you're forgetting the people. That voted you in there.
Yeah, it's true. Now, what do you think about security? You must have stalkers.
You know what? I've had like people come to the show, and one guy was like, I want to drive you everywhere you're going to go. And I'm like, you know.
Was he following you on Facebook then he came to the show?
He came to the show, and then he just kept coming to the show and he just showing up. And then he saw, you know, that I had a boyfriend. And then one time my boyfriend didn't show up to go because he couldn't go. And he walks over and he's like, where's your boyfriend? And I'm like, he's at home, you know? And I'm like, where's the mace? You know, so.
Now, do you carry mace?
I do carry mace, but like, I'm not that quick, so I don't know, like.
Let's see the mace there now.
Let's see. I want to take everything out.
Well, you're dead. You're already dead.
I know.
But let's see how much dead you're going to be by keeping look. All right, there we go.
I just throw it at him at this point.
Oh, here, let's do a close-up on that. Now, let's take a look there. All right.
So this is my little.
Fancy camera work here.
Pink mace. Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's adorable.
You would be dead, though, unfortunately.
I would be. I know. So I usually use my purse.
All right. So women get, I guess, stalkers. But more, it's more.
I mean, men get them, too. But
no, but men like the stalkers. We like naked pictures getting sent to us by crazy women, but as long as they don't show up in person, right? But the female stuff, I talk to a lot of females who get crazy ass, you know, nasty, the penis shots and the marriage proposals from Pakistan and all kinds of crazy crap. Do you get a lot of that stuff?
Yeah. But I don't decide until after I've had like a really good look. I'm like, yeah. And then I respond, this is disgusting. You know, no, I'm just kidding.
You ever worry about your safety on some of the stuff?
Not like until you mentioned it, but
sorry.
No.
Well, sorry.
Actually,
about that.
After the guy that was coming to my shows, like even my boyfriend was like, that guy's weird. I'm like, I know. But be nice to him. Because like you never know, right? You always be nice to the crazy people.
Well, actually, you know, it's funny. If they actually show up in person, not to scare the crap out of you, but
it's true.
About less than 0.5% show up in person.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are a problem.
Yeah.
So the guy comes back, you got to call security guard out to help him, you know, make him kind of go away. We'll take care of the thing for you.
I've had like a drunk guy, you know, try to fight me.
Try to fight you?
Yeah. Not fight me, but he kept trying to apologize to me for, he actually hugged me for no reason. I'm like just walking down the street.
What?
And I'm just like, okay, what? And he was like this tall compared to me. So then he kept saying, I'm Samoan. I'm like, you're not Samoan. Samoans are big. You're like this little. So, yeah, I had to like, then I got pissed because he wouldn't leave me alone. And then I was like, that's it. I'm taking this guy out. And I was like, Maria, back off.
So what do you think about the world right now? Are we all doomed?
You know, it is so scary.
It is kind of scary, right? Or is it misinformation? That's what I can't never get a hold on. I never get a handle on
like
that.
Fake news? Is that what you're trying to say right now?
So much fake news. Oh, my God. I don't believe any of it. I go, no, that's not what happened. We're going to wait. The guy that killed everybody in Portland, he's a white supremacist. Well, no, actually, turns out that wasn't what he was, but that came out first in the news. Yeah, and so, if he was, by the way, that's no good. None of it's good. But
nothing, I mean, is good, regardless of what the background is. But we're so quick to want to label it something.
Yeah, well, I don't know why we have to do that. I don't know if it makes us feel better or what it is. I can't figure out what it is. It's weird.
I honestly think now I don't want to sound all like bummer and like, you know what I mean? But like, I don't feel that Trump is really helping the situation. He's inciting more,
orange hair kind
of
bites.
My personal opinion. But
no,
I mean,
no, but it's not even political. I mean, I get it, right? So I work for this company that should never be named again. That's in the lawsuit. I can't actually say their name, as a matter of fact. But let's say they were from New York and New Jersey, right? Uh-huh. And every time I flew back there for a meeting, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, Charlie, how you doing? Chuck, how you doing? My teeth just went, oh, I can't listen to you. I don't, it's not my dialect, right?
Yeah.
You're like out of Central Casting.
It's one of my favorite accents, though, the Jersey.
Is it, though? See, I can't take it.
Oh.
And Trump, when he talks, I go like this. I go, no, don't make a noise.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the guy's got a $1 billion empire, and you go, he's not, you know, if he's stupid, he's half stupid, right? So I think the way he sounds and his delivery does not sound particularly intelligent sometimes.
No, at all.
Right. But then you look around and go, well, who's running Trump Tower? Is it his kids? I mean, how do they do that? So it's a bizarre phenomenon. It really is.
But there's a lot of people like that. There's people that are just dumb as shit. And they're like, they have like millions of dollars. And it's like, how you're so dumb.
I don't know.
You know, and then meanwhile, you got people that are very smart that, you know, are just work regular jobs and what have you. But it's like, I don't know. I think it's what makes you happy. But at the same time, it's like, if you're in that type of position, give back. Like, I wish I could give back more. You know, than like what I've done. Like I was helped a lot when I first moved back to Santa Clarita because I moved away for about 3 years. I was in a relationship and then that didn't go very well. It ended up, it was domestic violence related.
Oh no.
Yeah. So if I was bigger though, I would have taken him. But.
It's so common. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is.
How many women, they say it's scary. Like, you know, 4 out of 10. I think it's like 6 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Very scary. So I got out of that and, you know, so the domestic violence center that helped me. So I try to, you know, do what I can, like adopt a family for the holidays, or, you know, donate some money or time or clothes or whatever. I mean, it's not just that one. It's wherever you can, you know, so. And some people don't want to do that. They just want to get a tax break.
Yeah, no, I do a lot of, I volunteer a lot of stuff. I help a lot of people. I don't brag about it. It's all behind the scenes. Yeah. It's all part of paying people.
Oh, so you're saying that to me? You don't have to brag about it, Maria. God.
No, I'm not saying that didn't come out right. I mean,
no,
for
it
example,
did. It was very backhanded.
For
but
example,
okay.
I do this show for free. Send me some money. And by the way, there is a donate button on the live stream page if you want to donate some money to Maria's Comedy Act. We can push a little. Send her a dollar. Everybody send her a dollar.
That's
so $3.
Funny.
Bucks. It'll be good.
No, I'll tell you a story about that. I went to the Bel Air Country Club once.
Oh, very nice.
I know. I got invited by some friends for a Christmas party.
Very nice.
And I lost my parking ticket. Okay, and I was driving a Honda Accord at the time. It wasn't bad. It was a nice Honda Accord, right? So I come back out and I'm in a panic because if you don't have your ticket, you have to pay like the full rate or whatever. And I'm like, I don't have any cash. Oh my God, you know? And so I come out and then I go, I lost my car. He goes, it's okay. We know your car. He goes, it's the Honda Civic among all of the Mercedes and the nice cars. And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Well, at least it didn't have it go in the service entrance. That's a bonus, I suppose.
But yeah. And I wrote a joke about that. I told that story, and then I extended it to say, then they all of the valets collected some money and gave me some money for my car payment. So,
what do you worry about in the world? What makes you nervous? I like that. I like Mattis, who I guess he didn't do a joke, but it turned out to be very funny. He was on some talk show this weekend and said, General Mattis, what keeps you up at night? And he says, I keep other people up at night. I don't keep up. Nothing keeps me up at night. I keep other people up at night, which is kind of a very interesting statement, which made me actually feel kind of good. I feel a little more safe with that kind of thing. But what do you worry about in the world and the politics and all the things? I think it's all cray, right? It's we're just at a point where
you're so hip.
Everything's wacky. I mean, it makes no sense.
It's crazy. We're just getting to it. I mean, it's like
we're going backwards.
We are. And I feel like we're going. It's like it's going to like surface and then it's just going to go. All hell is going to break loose.
Yeah,
it's very
scary.
That's what I think.
Yeah. And you can almost. I don't know. Racism is worse. You know, political correctness actually creates racism in a lot of ways. I mean, when I was growing up in my family, they were black and white. Seven white kids, three black kids in Encino in 1974. You know, it wasn't all, you know, hold hands and roast marshmallows and buy the world a Coke. And, you know, we had some issues. But I don't think you could get All in the Family on TV today.
I loved All in the Family.
I don't think they would sell it.
He was so awesome.
That was great, but I don't think anybody would buy it. Yeah. They'd think it's mean or mean-spirited and things like that, you know?
It just, you know, it was like this thing, but it just wasn't like... It came with lessons. Like it came
That's right.
Like, and then you would see his face would like soften up and he would be like, oh, you know, geez, Edith. Yeah, okay, I'll change, you know.
Right.
But he did it, but he didn't, you know, he was like, okay, I'm wrong. I know I'm, you know what I mean? So there were still lessons there.
What do you think about race?
What do I think about
race? I don't think there is race. I think everybody's, because, you know, all men on earth have the same chromosome, the same DNA, right? And really, if you live next to the equator and I lived in Norway and I'm white as a sheet and you're brown as a berry, it's the same DNA. It literally is. So there's cultures. Mm-hmm. There's an Irish culture. There's a Mexican culture. But as far as a race, I think race was created to keep people down. Oh, you're a race.
Completely.
And you're, by the way, if I say you're a different race, I'm not saying it's because you're superior.
Yeah.
You're the inferior race. I mean, these are all things that you use to suppress people. Right. And they believe it over a period of time.
We're human beings.
Right. So how come white people can't make fun of other people, but if you're a quote minority, which is ridiculous because everybody is.
I have to explain that one to you.
I need you to explain that to me. But why? It doesn't make any sense.
You know what I think is because
we were,
minorities.
We were so mean because we were white people.
Yeah, we put up with a lot of your guys' shit. So it's like, you know what? You're not allowed. Let us have the jokes. You know, you guys had slavery. You guys had, you know, oppression and all this shit. Like, we're allowed to have some jokes. I mean, you know, we're not killing you guys. I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me just. But you know what I mean? I think that's why. I think people don't want to see that white people are joking about it. You're trying to joke, but it's hard to accept a joke from.
Right.
You know.
Is it funny? Is it funny? It is acceptable to say. How do I describe it? So when they drop the N-word, I don't think that's funny.
No.
Right? Because it represents a certain thing.
Yeah.
That's not funny. But if you made fun of slavery in a certain way,
yeah.
that could be funny. Right, because it's situational, and you know every race on earth's been a slave at some time, right? Mm-hmm. The Incas and the Irish and everybody else, right? That's not a funny situation, but I find there's humor in everything that happens.
And if you don't
look at humor, we become too. I don't know.
You can make it like I think who does a really good job is Louis C.K. does a great job. Like he says the N-word, and I'm like. He has an N-word pass. Who gave him a pass? Not that I want to say it, but I'm saying you know, but he's managed to do that in such a way that people listen to him and people, you know, hear him and know he's telling the truth, but he's obviously using the comedy and you laugh. You do laugh, you know, and he makes, you know, fun of, you know, whites and this and that and different ethnicities or different races, different types of people.
Right.
But, you know, he's able to do it. I mean, it takes a while. Like, I couldn't do the same joke he does because people are like, who the hell are you? You know?
Well.
Mexican, get back in the kitchen. You know, I'm just.
But can you tell Mexican? You can tell Mexican jokes because you're Mexican, but I can't tell Mexican jokes because I'm Irish, but I can tell Irish jokes and get away with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we can cross over. I think it's just.
This is new, by the way, because when I was a kid, you could tell jokes about everything and everybody.
We're just so ready to fight with each other because of whatever. I mean, I like to talk about race and other people's and the differences in us because it's true. Like if people go, oh, you shouldn't say that. It's like, well, it's true. Like black people don't eat chicken. Yeah, they do. Right. I do too. Right. You know what I mean? Do Mexicans have beans? Yeah. You know, it's like, why are you getting mad about that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's sit down and eat something.
Well, I think it's exactly.
Pass me a margarita, you know? Just.
I think a lot of it has to do with, political parties want to categorize people and control people.
Well, that's how we separate ourselves from, we're putting ourselves in these little clusters and we're not allowing ourselves to just commingle and coexist with each other because we're so busy getting upset with what someone said.
You know what's funny about LA though? And I was born and raised here, one of the few people I know. LA has about 128 languages spoken here, right? Wow. I think it's more languages than any place on earth.
That's amazing.
And isn't it pretty mellow? Doesn't everybody basically get along here? I mean, really? I mean, you know, we have different areas that people live in and stuff, but it's not like some of the other major cities and old cities where, you know, borough means you don't walk in that borough if you're part of a certain group or something, right? And you don't really see the tension here. Just in public in general in LA. Would you agree with that?
Well, would you drive through Watts? Would you?
Oh, I used to drive through Watts.
The Watts Towers?
I will tell you, I did when I was a boy. Okay. I will tell you how white I am.
Right? Back when it was white?
No. So my dad used to be
the
40s. My dad used to be the 40s. Thank you very much.
I know, that's too old.
My dad used to be in the magazine business. And so he had a thing called Women's World.
Yeah.
That's a magazine. You know what it is?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's pretty. But when it first came out, it looked like the National Enquirer kind of paper. It was about 3 pages long. In the old days, you had to go out and sell the magazines to the grocery store or the newsstand, and then you had to count what didn't get sold because they think, you know, they're cheating. Yeah. Oh, I didn't sell any, but you sold them all, put it in your pocket, right? So he gave me a route during the summer, and I had to go around all the stores in Watts and count magazines, right? Yeah. Now, I got a 1967 Camaro convertible that's white, okay? And I'm as white as they come, ladies and gentlemen. Although I am one-third American Indian, you wouldn't know it, but I am. And I'm driving around down Watts, and all these people are going, who's that crazy motherfucker driving through us? Well, he's a crazy motherfucker. We'll just leave him alone because he must be out of his mind. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel intimidated by anybody. And I was on Grape Street.
Really?
On Grape Street's, you know, when I was a cop, that's the place.
It's pretty,
well, in
like,
the 80s especially.
Scary,
It was scary.
We had a white guy that lived in Watts.
Yeah.
And whenever we saw him, it was like a rare sighting when we saw him on the street. But he was like total gangster, the way he would walk, the way he carried himself. I don't think he wasn't trying to look that way.
No,
that's just how it was hard. You could see the hardness in his face.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, okay. And we called him white boy. Just white boy, just let him walk
Cuero,
by.
Cuero?
Cuero, yeah. You just let Cuero.
Well, I went to Watts Towers and I counted all these magazines and nobody messed with me. And I was friendly and I didn't appear threatening anybody. And one of my good friends, Sheila, who worked for me at Fox, I talked to her on the phone one day, and then she came to work for me as a guard. And eventually, I made her my secretary, right? My executive secretary. So if you called the office and talked to Sheila, people would talk to her for a couple of months. They come in to meet her, and they go, you're Sheila? They all thought she was black.
Yeah.
Because she just sounded that way, because that's where she was raised, in black family, black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then I had a couple super white girls when I was a cop in San Gabriel that were raised in the barrio.
Yeah.
And they sounded exactly like Oyele and all the gangbanger stuff and everything. And you look at me and you go, blink, blink, what? Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
So our brains go, that's different, because our brains are saying, I'm looking for the stereotype and the stereotype's not there. Maybe, right?
Yeah.
But then again, it's not really bad to think there's a stereotype because all stereotypes aren't bad, right? I mean, I love Hispanic culture.
It's not
I just
a bad
think
thing
it's,
at all. I mean, if it wasn't, it wouldn't be a stereotype if it wasn't true.
Yeah, stereotype's the worst word. It's more like a...
There's some truth to it.
That's it. I mean, that's the culture, right?
But I think it's when you say it to someone and you're saying it such a like a negative
in a mean way.
In a mean way, it's like
right.
So you're going to try to insult me by telling me that I eat beans? Wow.
Yeah, that'll do me in. That's it.
Wow.
I got to go to psychiatrist now.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's going to scar me for life.
I always think it's funny to make fun of the Ku Klux Klan. I think they're hilarious. Oh. I mean, it's an evil, evil organization.
Yeah.
But they're a bunch of freaking morons, right? Yeah. And you can really have a lot of fun with that, but it's not popular to talk about them. And then when my
it's not?
Well, my neighbors were around saying that all Republicans are racist, I remind them that the Ku Klux Klan was started by 4 Confederate soldiers who became lawyers.
Yeah.
And it was used to suppress all the minorities and the black people in the South for 50, 75 years, 100 years.
It's,
you know. And the history, we get history wrong. And I think getting history wrong creates some of these issues, right?
That
if you get history wrong and you get the stereotype wrong, so to speak, Polish people are morons. No, actually, Polish people are pretty freaking smart if you look at the history and all that kind of stuff, but they got a bad stigma.
Like one guy ruined it for everybody.
Well, there's one idiot, right? Some bad bad breeding or something.
Yeah, one person. Yeah, it happened. I mean, we all do it. I mean, I used to be like, my boyfriend's white, and I used to be like I didn't want to date white guys.
Now, why is that?
Because I'm like, I don't know anything about golf. Or like surfing. I'm like, I don't know what to talk to them about. Like,
okay.
That was really my sincere, like, and then I just felt like I couldn't connect. And then I was like, what are you doing? You know? And as I got older, it was just, and of course I live in Santa Clarita, so.
That's pretty white.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. You just start to see things very differently, obviously. I mean, when I lived in Watts, I lived around Hispanics and Blacks. And so that was what I was around mostly.
Right.
And then now, you know, and he's from Nebraska, so, you know, he grew up on a farm.
Yeah, middle America. Yeah.
And I'm Mexican. It's kind of the same thing, really, when you think about it, you know, so it works. And I don't see that. I mean, I joke around with him a lot about that, you know, we'll joke around, you know, and he'll call me my little, whatever, you know, we'll just make jokes.
My little Mexican.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just, I don't take it personal, or I don't get offended, because that's not who he is, and that's not who I am. And so, you know.
Well, I got news for you, newsflash. You happen to be white. Right? You're Caucasian, technically.
Yeah.
If you're from Spain, you're Caucasian, technically.
Yeah,
that's the irony in all this stuff. Unless you're born on the Inca Empire or something, then you'd be
native. I am more on the Spanish. Yeah, I learned that. I met my great-grandmother, and when I saw her, I was like, that's not my grandmother. Like, she was blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin.
Oh, Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, who is that?
Yeah, Spaniards
are
very white.
That's your great-grandma. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, she's really white. And it was interesting to hear her speak, and it's like, it's just opening yourself up to other things, you know, to other cultures, and I don't know, watch the History Channel or watch National Geographic, something that gets you, if you can't travel or whatever, I mean, at least do something like that. So that you open yourself, and you have to be open to that. Like this earlier today, and I don't want to cut you off. You know, you're talking.
No, you're not cutting me off.
Earlier today, I go on Facebook and I'll like see certain articles, and there was a woman, and I can't remember the name, but this man called into her show, and he said to her, he says, "I'm pretty prejudiced," and he goes, "How can I change that?" And she was black, and he was white, and he was calling in, admitting it and asking for help. How do I change that? And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And he was admitting, you know, I have certain prejudice. I have this. They got to meet face to face, and he was really genuinely trying to understand, because I think you're closed off and you're taught a certain way, and you don't allow yourself, you know, to see outside of your little world.
I was very fortunate that I don't know, I grew up, my dad married Vi, and Vi was black after he got divorced. And, I don't know. She was an entertainer, right?
Yeah.
So here, knock, 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 open the door. Oh, well, there's the, there's Sonny his name was Sonny, and what was his partner's name? Richard or something. And this went on for a year or two. Then all of a sudden, knock, knock, and all Sonny now is Sonia. So he's a black guy who was gay, who had a sex change. And I'm 12 years old going, well, I guess that's how things work.
Yeah.
Right. Or she used to invite people to the club that were fans of hers. We have parties and things. Mm-hmm. I must have seen any possible combination of race, sexual orientation, you name it, would come through the house. And that was normalization. That was like, okay, well, that's just how people are, you know. And then I get older and say, well, that's not how most people are, but you know what? What the hell's wrong with it? So if you're not exposed to it, you're afraid of it.
Yeah.
Right? And when you're exposed to it, as you know, embrace the white people. because you didn't know about it, right?
I know, yes.
And then it's like, okay, we're all the same. We really are all the same.
We really are.
Except
truly.
You like, I like mutton and you like refried beans, but but it's the same.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I think that's how you beat prejudice. And I always found, although
mutton
when
doesn't sound as good, by the way.
Oh, mutton's nasty.
Mutton, just the word itself.
Mutton's not lamb.
Okay.
But then it's a baby lamb. And then if I said lamb, I get letters. Because, hey, you eat a lamb, you're evil. Right.
PETA's going to call you.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, don't get me started with those guys. Those guys they used to come to UCLA when I was a cop and break into the vivisectionist laboratories and, you know.
PETA was breaking in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I used to do patrol in the hospital up there. So I'm walking around one day. And, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going, what are the lights on over here for? So I open up the keys and open up this door. And here's a group of doctors, masks, big table. There's this giant, like 300-pound pig on the operating table. And when I come in, they're all like, blink, like freeze and look at me, and I'm going, oh, dude, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Well, they were doing vivisectionist research and, you know, that kind of thing. And so what would happen is the PETA people would break into the school and free the pigs and free the monkeys and free all the animals and stuff. Yeah. So that was a weird, and they're very violent.
Oh, yeah.
About it, right? I'm all for, let's not torture animals. That's cool. But, you know, let's take care of the kids that, you know, are living on the street and are beaten by their kids first.
Right.
Let's get that part right, you know.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. What was I talking about before? I can't remember. Barbie, help us out here. The continuity.
Yeah, you're keeping us.
You guys were talking about being race and white and Mexican.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's all fine.
Yeah, it is.
Tell me how you handle something difficult in your life. Because comedians are people that, you know, if we act funny or just funny, we see things a little differently, right? Mm-hmm. So I look at the humor and everything. I say, I'm lucky. That sucks. That was shitty. That's a terrible thing. But you know what? On the other hand, this is a positive thing. Would you say you're positive or negative? Some comedians can be negative, and that's humor. And some people are positive. What do you think?
It depends on the time of the month, I think.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I guess I do know what you mean. I have 9 sisters. I kind of do know what you mean.
And it depends. I think it depends on how you wake up that morning. Like this morning, I woke up really in a bad mood. I had a horrible dream about my ex that he was in my house. And I'm like, get the fuck out of my house, you know? So it's just weird. And so that sets off your day. But you try to be positive. I mean, how do I handle things is through joking around.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't know how I would do it. Like, I joke about everything.
Yeah, because some people say, oh, you know, comedians are all dark and they're depressed and they're lonely. That's why they joke about things. And I think, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe they just find humor in things.
Everybody's like that.
Yeah.
You know, just we're just funny about it. You know,
right.
I'd rather be around comics because they're funny about their struggles and all their stuff that they're dealing with, we're dealing with, as opposed to somebody that's just like, you know, oh, I got to go see my therapist. It's like, oh, God, you're so boring. You know, like, you know, be like, live.
Is it therapy for you? Is it cathartic to get out there and talk about your life? And
it actually is. It's actually, for me, it's, I enjoy making other people laugh, you know, and of course, some of the things that I think are funny, people don't think they're funny, but
right.
Okay, you know, unfriend those people, you know, I don't need you. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I it is therapeutic. I mean, I think for everybody, it's a rush to get up on stage.
That is,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
It's because I lecture on, this does not sound right. Let me phrase this. It's a rush when I lecture on active shooter training. Oh, you're excited because you're teaching people how not to get shot. That's not what I'm saying. But when I'm engaging an audience and saying, look, Maria, I'm going to tell you how not to get shot. It's possible to survive a shooter. It's possible to dodge bullets. Here's how we do it. I use a Nerf gun for teaching because I want people to laugh about the experience.
Right.
Some people use those real like pellet.
They're real.
Well, they look like a real gun, but they shoot plastic bullets, right? Yeah. And I go, yeah, that's, you'll remember that, but I think you'll remember more if I hit you in the head with a dart, a Nerf dart. You're going to go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I just love getting in front of an audience. I don't get nervous. I've never been nervous standing in front of people. I just, you feel the energy. I guess that's the best way to describe
you
it.
You do.
Yeah.
I get nervous. I get nervous. I get nervous.
But that's the energy.
Yeah.
Coming back to you, kind of, so to speak. And then when it doesn't go well, as it does on this show a lot of times.
It doesn't go well.
Then you go, but you keep going forward, right? You just got to keep doing it, right? So I love that part of it. I like doing the show live because I screw up every single show. I do something wrong. Miranda tells me on Facebook on my monitor over here that we're overmodulating and feedback. And I go, well, that's the way it goes, folks.
What does that mean?
She was getting some kind of feedback on when she was watching the show on Facebook, but we got it on backup tape.
Is she the only one watching? Is that why she's like?
She's the only one that watches. Okay. That's right. I screw up every single show.
Yeah.
Something happens, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Because the point is to get out there and give people information to think about. So I don't get nervous or embarrassed for that part of it. But I hear what you're saying. That energy is just something. It's really indescribable.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's you know, and it's what's weird is I joke about. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm not a people person or I'm very social,
right.
But then you also just get a little overload and then you're like, oh, I got to retreat. And you know, sometimes I don't want to be around people. It's just, it's not that I don't like people. It's just the energy that could be a little, it's exhausting.
Energy is energy, right?
Yeah.
And whether it's positive or negative, it's the same effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the biggest audience you ever had?
What did we have? I'm trying to think where I was. I did a show at a synagogue, and we had about 100 people there at a synagogue.
It's a big audience
at
a synagogue.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty fun. And it was a show I put together that was about a year or so ago. And yeah, it's scary. It's like you want people to laugh, and you obviously want people to laugh, but you know, you also want to work on yourself and be true to yourself.
Right.
And that's always, it's a little tough.
My biggest audience was 1,200 people at a security conference.
Yeah.
And it was at Disney. It's a thing called ATAP, which is Association of Threat Assessment Professionals. And we talk about stalkers and all this kind of stuff every year. So they keep begging me to come do a lecture. And I go, I don't want to do a lecture. And yeah, come on, you got to do it. So I said, okay. So I want to bring my own laptop. You don't need your own laptop. We're Disney. We have all the best equipment in the world. Just give us the disk of your PowerPoint. We'll put it on our computer. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Right.
Bigly or great, whatever he says, right? Yeah. I said, I don't know. I'm going to drive home and get my laptop. So I drive all the way home from Anaheim to Burbank. I get the laptop, come back. I said, use my laptop. Nope. Got it all plugged in. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. I walk in from 1,200 people. I introduce myself. I say, hi. I'm going to show you guys a PowerPoint about how to do investigations online, how to catch stalkers. This is back in the 90s. When nobody was doing that stuff, right? And I push the button on the PowerPoint, and the screen's black.
Oh.
It's black with very faint purple lettering in the background. Something's gone horribly wrong, right? And I got about 100 of those slides to go through.
Oh, my God.
Tell people. And I'm going, oh, my God. And I got these nasty, oh, yeah, you're some internet expert. You can't work a PowerPoint. But I just kept plugging forward, right? So that was a bad day in the joke department. But I made fun of myself.
Yeah.
I made fun of the whole thing, and I got through it. And there was a huge audience, but I wasn't nervous about the audience. I was concerned about the PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
But you just go through and do it, you know. Now, do you want to do this professionally? Do you want to make some money at it and get on the Tonight Show? Or
yeah, I would like to. I like to write, actually.
Okay.
I'd like to write for like a like do my own thing, like a sitcom,
yeah.
or like be a writer for something. I mean, I don't mind doing the stand up. I just I do like it. I do enjoy it. I just like wonder like, okay, to make money at it. How long is that going to take me?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm not a young, you know, I'm not a spring chicken, so I'm a little.
Well, if you're not a spring chicken, I'm not, I don't know.
Yeah.
My white hair, I'm
yeah,
one foot in the grave.
I didn't get the chance to color my grays in this before I got here, so yeah.
I like to write too. I think writing's.
It's fun.
It's fun and it's difficult.
It is
and
difficult.
I like having written. Mm-hmm. I don't like to write so per se, but I like to having finished the product.
Yeah.
And it's really a matter of taking all these little parts and put. It's like you're building something.
Yeah.
It's the best way to describe it. Yeah.
So it's I think obviously there's people that have been doing it way longer that are pretty awesome and very talented. And, you know, you hope the best. I mean, there's a lot of comedians out there. There's a lot of comedians / actors / whatever. But, you know, everybody's, you know, pretty talented, very funny, you know, very, They have the expertise, they have the techniques, and they take the classes, and they do this and that and the other. But if you want to do a stand-up, the best teacher is getting on that stage.
Just doing it.
Yeah. Because you can do all of the classes, but it's really perfecting it on
the stage. I never understood the class thing. I mean, I think you either have it or you don't. You're funny or you're not. But then a lot of people swear by taking acting classes and all that sort of thing. Have you ever taken any of that stuff?
No. I think that I maybe could use it. one of the things that someone said to me was, you know, consistency and control.
Okay.
And I think that that's sometimes something I let get away from me sometimes. And another thing I was told is silence is your friend. And I'm like, it is, because it doesn't feel very good.
That's right.
You know, so, but yeah, you know, relish or enjoy the pauses, learn to like take that in, let them kind of the audience pick up on what you just said. Give them a chance.
Right.
Obviously, speak up, enunciate. That's another thing. I have a little voice. And so when I get nervous, it just gets smaller and smaller. So, you know, enunciate, you know, tell your thing, do it with confidence, but be consistent and have some control and let them kind of marinate in that and get it. And if they laugh, they do. If they don't, okay, move on. You know, but don't try to fix it by adding something to it and it's not really a part of your skit, because it kind of throws it off and it shows.
Well, so when people have jokes that flop, sometimes they do recovery by making fun of the fact that it flopped, and it kind of works, but they suggest in training not to do that kind of stuff.
Don't draw attention to it. But I've seen some comics do it and it's hilarious.
Right.
Like one comic, he did a joke, and I think his joke was too smart for the audience, this particular audience.
That could be.
And so he's standing there. And he just kind of, he stands there and he just kind of twitches his head and he opens up his jacket and he takes out and he's like, nope, that's how I wrote it. And it was funny.
That's funny, yeah.
But he did it with such control and such, you know, ease, and it wasn't this panicky like, oh my God, you know, it was just calm.
I think one of the funniest guys I ever saw, and boy, I can't remember because I'm old, but I saw this back in the, you know, 80s. Now, this guy used to be on American, Love American Style. You're too young for that show.
I remember that show.
Oh, you do? Okay. And he was a regular, you know, because it was kind of a company of recurring players. Mm-hmm. And he was a famous comedian at the time. And he did a thing on, if it wasn't Broadway, it was Hollywood Boulevard, the Paramount, but it was a play, right? And it was called the Funniest Man in the World or something like that.
Yeah.
One man show, mm-hmm. where he just got up there and talked for like 3 or 4 hours.
Wow.
And you couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
At everything he did. It was some physical comedy, a lot of things like that. And I kept thinking, that would be really fun to do that.
Yeah.
But how do you maintain a level like that? And then the guy died. He died prematurely, some heart attack at a younger age. He was a super funny guy. And I just wonder, when you write something that big,
yeah.
where it's a play, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are you writing a joke? Are you making an observation? When you talk about writing, mm-hmm. it's a very specific skill that's even beyond other disciplines within that. Like a couple of friends of mine write, it's kind of weird. Now, don't get weird about this, but they're my age and they write children's shows for Disney, okay? Why they have old people? But that's the formula, right?
Yeah.
They did Lizzie McGuire and Herman's Head and all those shows back in the day, and now they're still doing it. And those sort of things, when you write to an audience to make that particular audience laugh, that's a very specific discipline. Yeah. And writing, that's the bigger talent of all of it, I suppose. I mean, I can sit up and make jokes of things that I'm looking at, and I'm very sarcastic.
Yeah.
If you're out having a beer or something, I'm sarcastic as hell. And that's what people think I'm funny.
Yeah.
But I couldn't write a joke. I couldn't write a joke to save my life. My brain doesn't work that way.
It's different from the Facebook stuff I write. It's like, that's not my comedy. It's what I'm going through that day or
right,
that
but it's
moment.
Funny. But it's funny. But
that's, do you and think that's it's, how I think, though. That's,
yeah, but when you post it, do you think it's funny?
Do I think it's funny when I post it?
Or is it just not?
Yeah, because it makes me laugh. Like I'll listen to or I'll say it, and I'm like, that sounds pretty funny.
The irony of what's happening. It's like, oh my God, this is going on. And
Like it's the way you think. Like I was telling Barbie, my boyfriend and I were standing.
But you need to comment there. Barbie is not her boyfriend. Barbie's in the studio.
Barbie is not. She's my girlfriend.
All right.
Barbie's my girlfriend. No, Key and I were standing at Big Five or something. We were standing in line, and there was this little sign that said, you know, donate to help premature babies. And so I was looking at it, and then I leaned over to him, and I'm like, fuck those babies. And he goes, oh, he goes, Maria, but they're preemies. And I'm like, give a shit. I was totally joking,
right?
Because who would say that, right? And then I was like, you're not going to donate, are you? And so then we were next, you know, and the lady's like, would you like, because she was asking everybody, would you like to donate to premature babies? And so I looked at him and he's like, yeah, I'll donate a couple of times. But I think he felt guilty for what I said. And I go, it's completely obviously a joke.
No, but it's not always obviously a joke. That's the problem.
Yeah.
People take stuff so seriously. Yeah. I'm sarcastic about things and I'll post something and people flip out on Facebook saying, really, that's too much information.
Oh, I get
that.
And
I go,
I get that.
I'm just kidding. I don't really think we should club baby seals. I'm making fun of people that club baby seals because they're assholes.
Yeah.
That's the joke. And sometimes you get in big trouble
for it.
You get
some people that are like super...
super sensitive or something. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I just don't...
You can't make everybody laugh. You can make them cry though pretty easily. That's for sure. Especially if they listen to this show. Snare drum, please.
Is that Melanie's job or is that her name? Melanie?
Who?
Who is the gal that was telling you to... Did I get her name wrong?
Oh, Miranda.
Miranda
is watching.
I'm sorry, Miranda.
Miranda
it's
is
so
watching.
Bad.
Well, she's in Florida, but she's normally in Copenhagen or The Hague or what? They call it something different than we do. We just call it, you know, Denmark. They call it The Hague, some fancy name.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible with names. God. Jeez. Now she's going to think she did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
No, women are like that. We're very
kind of stuff. What is that
I wish we weren't, because I would love to be friends with more women that I see, and I just see a lot of resistance.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah. Except for Barbie. Barbie's pretty cool.
Barbie, your boyfriend. Yeah.
Barbie, my boyfriend over there. We just kind of hit it off. We got along, and, you know, there's just some people that don't want to be like that, and it's just like...
Now, do you think you get along better with guys than girls? Or have more guy friends
or
girlfriends?
Well, you know what? Guys aren't trying to be your friend. You know what I mean?
But we have penises. That's what happens. We can't excuse that.
I used to think that. Like, oh, I get along more with guys. And then I'm like, no, I don't. They're just like, there's just a hidden agenda.
Right.
Yeah, which sucks because you just really, you want to be friends sometimes with people. You don't, you know, you can't be in a relationship with everybody, you know?
Right. Well, but there'd be no babies if it wasn't for guys. I mean, that's
no,
just it, goes,
I know, but. I know. But I'm just saying, like, you know.
We are.
Females, I think we could be a little bit more supportive of each other. Just people in general, too. You know, we're so quick to want to hate people and want to, you know, oh, I don't like, you know. I'm sure people are watching this going, oh, listen to her. She just, ugh.
Yeah.
I can't stand her voice.
I think tolerance is the key, right? So I'm extremely tolerant. Yeah. And people say, you know what? You should have taken that guy out. You should have done something about that. And I go, you know what? I'm not going to waste my energy on a moron or an idiot, right? You can say some facts. You can educate people. But why get all on Facebook about it?
I've been guilty of doing that. You don't want to, but it's just like, well, screw you. What the hell? You know?
But you can put
I'm
them down with facts.
I'm just minding my own business. Yeah, but it could even just be on Facebook or you could be sitting somewhere and it's just like, what? Go, if this is bothering you, this conversation, let's say we're sitting outside somewhere doing this and somebody's like, can you stop doing that? Because I'm trying to have lunch. It's like, really, dude? Can you move? Like, we were here, whatever.
Right.
You know, it's just, there's always going to be somebody that's just going to have a problem with whatever you're doing.
Now, do you get trolls?
Oh, yeah. I just blocked a guy because he used my Facebook post as a, you know, springboard to tell me, I don't know why he's telling me, like, I'm going to, you know, spread the word for him, but he was proceeding to say that comedians aren't funny.
Comedians aren't funny.
Comedians nowadays, all these comedians that I'm seeing on Facebook, you guys are not funny. And it's like, wow. And you're friends with them, but you're not a comedian yourself.
Right. So what's he following you for?
I don't know.
Was that the security guard radio drone that was flying?
No, it was like something was flying and I didn't want it to get.
We have little miniature drones in here spying on people, just in case.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, that's what that was. Yeah.
I thought it was.
Or it's a haunted studio.
Dandruff or something. I don't know.
No, people say it's. So I have that, an Arlo camera in here. When you put it on infrared, all these little things start zipping across the screen and people.
That did look weird, huh? I was like.
That did look, yeah.
Like, shut up, Chuck.
Well,
what are we talking about? Oh.
No, we're talking about your troll. I don't get trolls. I just get people that either really like what I say or they're neutral. Mm-hmm. People don't usually come back at me and say, you're full of bullshit and blah, 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 because I just go kabam with a fact and then that's the end of it. Oh, but I don't want to fight with people and have political, nasty political things. I just want to supply, here's some facts, by the way. Here's what it means. Here's what it doesn't mean, that kind of thing. My little niece, oh my God, she's like, I don't know what her problem is. She knows everything. She's a genius, right?
Of course.
All the world's problems can be solved. We should let everybody immigrate to the United States. And I go, oh, that's great. That's a great, noble thing. Do you ever see the immigration thing on with the guy with the gumballs?
No.
All right. So this professor gets on and says, okay, here's the United States, 350 million people, 350 million gumballs. And here's the 1 million people that we let in every year. And he puts one gumball over here in this thing.
Okay.
And by the way, here are the 85 million people in Africa. And he puts, you know, 850 million gumballs. He puts 850 gumballs in a jar. And these are the people that live under poverty. And he lines all these gumballs up. And he goes, if you look at all the people that all make under $12 a year and all, you know, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. The world is not a nice place. We're very lucky to live here, right?
Yeah, completely.
And you say, we're going to take 1 million of these billions of people and let them in the United States a year. He said, let's let 3 million in. Let's let 10 million people in. It doesn't take care of those gumballs.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't, yeah.
So are we supposed to let everybody in that are going to destroy us? Mm-hmm. That's my argument, right? You want to come over here and play ball and wave the flag and eat an apple pie and assimilate into the American culture, which is everybody, by the way. Yeah. It's all races. It works.
Yeah,
it shouldn't work, by the way.
It is.
It does, right? Only place on earth that works. But to say we have to let everybody in, no, we don't have to let everybody in. Especially if you want to kill us.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. Let people that want to take you over.
It's when you start saying, well, not those people and not those people. It's like, okay, you can't just put every, you know, that an entire nation in a category and say not those people. It's like, you know, how do we differentiate? How do we choose? How do we say, oh, you know, do you have a record or or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is we have laws for all this stuff that, that have been in place forever, and we just don't follow them.
Yeah.
And the laws, my in-laws came here with $10,000 from Argentina, and well, $10,000 was like $100,000 back there.
Just kidding.
No, but you had to save it, right, back in 1960.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, and that's what the laws say, and that's not practical for most people nowadays. It's hard
to
do.
It's not. Yeah. It's
so I don't believe people, everybody wants to live here. I get that part. I think that's fine. But we can't just say willy-nilly that, okay, open up, everybody come in, and then we got nothing. It all becomes the same as everybody else, and America's unique that way.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Well, Maria, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank
I appreciate
you for
it.
Having me.
Now, if you ever, Barbie, ever remember that place you're going to play, you call me up and I'll tell you guys where to go.
I know. Sorry.
And let me put your little
my
Maria Delgado
Twitter.
At eyes_free.
Eyes_free.
Now
yes.
I caught that joke immediately.
You did?
When I read it, I went, she's saying eyes, like eyes is.
Like eyes is free.
Eyes is free, right?
I used that. I got that, came up with that when I got divorced. And I felt like I was free. Like I'm free. Eyes free. I'm free. I was free. So how do you spell eyes? I just thought.
No, that's what it is. It's very funny.
Use it with the, eyes, E-Y-E-S.
Very good. Well, I'm really glad you came on the show. You're welcome to come on here anytime you want. And we will always have a page for you on Security Guy TV.
Awesome. Thanks
and I'll get you a little software. You can stream your phone right to that page and we'll do some stand-up stuff. And your boyfriend over here, Barbie, can help me with the live stream if
thanks,
she wants.
Barbie.
And that'll be great.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on the show,
thanks.
Maria. All right, everybody, tune in next week. And stand by because we're going to have a special about Officer Down at USN, some fundraising coming up at 7 o'clock. So stand by for that in a few minutes. Good night.